I appreciate the opportunity to be here today. It's always a pleasure to see my PowerPoint come up on the screen because it means I'm not going to have to be talking to an empty screen here. I appreciate the opportunity to speak in this session. I've really enjoyed the talks by Phil Bauer and Craig Bednarz. A lot of them are similar in some of the aspects of this study. I hope that I'll have something to add that's a little bit unique through it. The reason we focused on this study was over the last few years, we've really started to have a black eye from our fiber quality results. And so we wanted to look at some of the potential quality components that might be related to growth and yield distribution. We focused on varieties that are commonly grown in Georgia and Texas, and the original plan was to actually have a study in locations in Georgia and Texas. This way we'd be able to look at some of the growth dynamics in different environments, you know, humid versus dry, sunny versus cloudy, long versus shorter growing season, high versus low rainfall. But the Texas study ended up turning into a hail study, I guess, because they got hailed out. And so we essentially had to scratch that. Yeah, just didn't have an untreated control. So our goals were to identify the growth components of these two varieties, see if some of these differences might be tied to yield distribution, the quality differences, and then to also look at the interaction between irrigation and quality in these varieties. The varieties we picked were Delta Pine 555, which is grown a lot in Georgia, and Fibromax 960, which is grown a lot in Texas. Our main plot was irrigation. Our split plot was our variety. And we measured throughout the season plant height, plant nodes, nodes above first square and white flower, radiation capture using a light bar. And we did in-season and at-harvest plant mapping. And I'd just like to tell everybody that helped me with that, and some of them are here in the room, thanks, because it is not a fun job getting out there and plant mapping, as many of you can attest. In order to determine our dry weights for our in-season mapping, we went into our borders and we pulled 20 fruiting structures of each size. We dried them out. We took the average dry mass, and then when we did our plant mapping, we estimated the fruiting size and development, and then we calculated our in-season dry mass based on that, based on the scale that I showed here. We had three sizes of squares, flower, and then five sizes of bowls. May consider increasing the number of bowls. It's a challenge, though, because even though bowls change in weight a lot with a little bit of sizes, they start to get bigger. It's difficult to pick out those sizes out in the field. To measure fractional PPF absorbed, which is related to your height and your leaf area index, we use this equation. Essentially, breaking it down, the incident radiation is the light coming in from above the canopy. If we didn't have any light reflected or transmitted, this ratio would be incident over incident and would be one. But of course, we're going to have some of it that's reflected, some of it that's transmitted, and a small percentage is going to be transmitted, reflected by the soil back into the crop. So we included that component as well. A little bit of a look at how I'm going to describe the data, just because I've had mixed reactions on whether it's easy to understand. The first thing I did was simply place the node for the first position on the left on the y-axis, and then measure bowl mass, bowl number, fruit number, etc., on the x-axis. I also looked at all three of the main sympodial fruiting positions. Place those on the x-axis, again place the node on the y-axis, and now we're able to look at a three-dimensional view of our yield distribution. It's a little bit weird to look at first, but the thing I like about it is it really draws out differences in where the plants are producing their fruit at. For example, here you can see that red area is our top producing areas between about node 8 and node 16. You can see primarily the lower nodes on the second position fruit produce a fair amount as well, and then we're not getting much out at the third position. Some of the differences in plant height that we saw throughout the growing season, and I will mention that FiberMax 960 is a shorter season variety. By about day 45 after planting, we saw differences by irrigation treatment. By about day 50, we started to see some of these height differences between the varieties. One of the interesting things was, and we did get some rainfall after day 60, the non-irrigated 555 actually caught up and surpassed the 960 in height, as we can see here. And some of that will be borne out as we look at the fruiting distribution and the way the plants acted. We saw similar results with our radiation absorption, separation by irrigation early in the season, separation by variety here, and then eventually they all kind of caught up as the canopies started to close and they were capturing most of that radiation. One of the interesting things that we noticed with this was some trending of separation by height of the radiation absorption between the two varieties. Evangelos Gonius in his talk yesterday mentioned differences by variety in radiation capture efficiency. We're seeing some of that effect here. Little bit on the distribution during the season. This is just the first position, bowl dry weight between the two varieties. Similar pattern to what we saw with Phil Bauer's talk earlier. The 555 trended toward the higher fruiting position, higher nodes, and this became more and more pronounced throughout the growing season. If we look at the fruit numbers, notice that the irrigated 555 already by day 50 was already starting to show this pattern, and the pattern increased, especially on the upper end, throughout the growing season. By day 78, we actually had higher yield or higher fruiting distributions for both the irrigated and the non-irrigated 555 than we did for either of the 960 varieties. One of the interesting things that I'll point out is we don't see a lot of difference in here between varieties for the fruiting structures right in this area, which might be a little bit of a surprise. Let me jump ahead a little bit. Until we look at the average bowl weight, notice that our 960 was significantly higher in bowl weight throughout the study. And so some of that's reflected back in those differences as well. We also saw differences in maturity. Again, the 555 matured later. The end result being that our fruit distribution at the end of the season showed a little bit higher fruiting distribution for the 960 at the lower nodes. They cross over to about node 10, and then we have substantially higher numbers of fruit at the higher nodes for it. If we draw this back into our little three-dimensional plot here, this is the difference in bowl mass between the 555 and the FiberMax 960 by, again, node and fruiting position. Notice that we had significantly higher bowl weights between node 7 and node 10. This is total bowl weight for the plant. Here we've got our crossover that we saw before, and then from about node 12 up to the top of the plant, we're seeing significantly higher bowl weights at almost every position. Notice that we're seeing a similar trend at the second position as well. You notice that everything kind of shifts down by a node. That's not unsurprising since the second position fruit are produced a little bit later than the first position fruit. How did this affect us with our yield and our quality? Irrigation didn't have a big effect on most of the quality components. It did affect our yield, and it did have some effect on micronair. If we look at variety, we saw big differences except with micronair. We saw substantially higher fiber quality for the 960 than for the 555. If we look at the interaction between irrigation and variety, again, there's a little bit there. We saw differences in yield, difference in uniformity, but the rest of the parameters, they weren't significant, and they weren't even really close. So we found that we tended to have more fruit oriented higher on the 555, heavier bowls, and higher quality on the 960. We also had higher yield on the 555 because it did a better job of compensating toward the top of the plant, and that tends to play into the hands of the weather for South Georgia quite well. We're continuing to look at some of these pieces to the quality puzzle. We've looked at the partitioning dynamics, the distribution. We're breaking out the quality by node right now. That work's still in progress. I don't know, based on Phil Bauer's talk, what to expect based on our growing season. We had a pretty dry growing season early on, wet later on, so we may see some effects from the bottom to the top of the plant on that. It'll be interesting to see. I'd like to thank those that helped with the project. Several of you are in the room, and I appreciate the help on this. It's a lot of blood and sweat that's gone into this. Also, the research was funded by the Georgia Cotton Commission and Cotton Incorporated. Do we have any time for questions?
Yes, we do. Thank you.